Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's going to be a great show today. Had a long weekend. Had to put down one of my best friends, my 14-year-old black lab, Augie. He just got to where he couldn't even use his front legs anymore. And, just like somebody in the family dying. It's tough when dogs go, especially when they're such a great dog. Augie, this show's for you, baby. I'll miss you. Went to a great party last night. Got Russ Baxter is going to be calling in any minute. I love Russell. Russell's probably getting ready. He's the most prepared dude I've ever met in my life. And
he's got spreadsheets upon spreadsheets.
He's got everything. Let me tell you something. Russell Baxter is, you've got to have him, on your stat sheets. He's just unbelievable. Clark Judge is going to come on at 10:30. We're going to talk. We're going to break down all the games at 10:30. And then I've got, since the New York Giants are, can we call it a game? I mean, they're actually
scrimmage. It's a scrimmage.
There's a scrimmage over at MetLife Stadium later today. The Giants, who are, trying to win as many games as they can, I guess, to just kind of chalk them up to the career numbers for Tom Coughlin. Who may very well be retiring after this year. There's a good chance Tom won't retire. Quote unquote. You just never know. Well, I don't think anybody's going to ask Tom to leave. I don't think it's Tom's fault. I think Jerry Reese might be looking for a job. Somebody's going to be looking for a job. And if somebody's not looking for a job, they need to look for help in their office because they need it desperately. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Here on AM 1230 WFAS. Can you jack me up just a little bit so I can hear myself talk? Thank you, Matthew.
I like it this better.
You know what I think
it
is?
You have kind of a mellowness to yourself.
Well, I
to your
do because I, because I can't hear it. But that's
probably
good. You
got a Wolfman Jack going on.
I'm probably like one of these singers that the more he hears his voice, the louder he gets. At the Attic in Greenville, North Carolina, which is a famous nightclub. That was around for years, and you saw Attic t-shirts in every state in the country. And I used to spend a lot of time in the Attic because I lived in Greenville off and on for 11 or 12 years. And there was a big sign backstage that said, if you can't play good, play loud. And Tom Skinner put it up there, and it's probably – they don't have the Attic there anymore, but I guarantee you that sign's in nightclubs somewhere.
I need to etch that into one of my guitars here.
has Russ called? Is he calling in?
I have it up and nothing yet.
Okay.
He's probably checking his fantasy football like we were today.
The thing is,
we got to ask him who he has.
Yeah, well, no, he's like picked out some games that he feels good about today. I'm taking a peek at this. I mean, the Giants do play the Redskins over at MetLife. Last year, I went to that game. It poured rain the entire time I was there. It was 36 or 37 degrees. It's one of those.
You brought one of the guys from WFAS.
Yes, I did. I took and he, the guy that works the board on the weekends. He's a nice kid. I love him a lot. Joe, I think is his name. Real nice kid. But anyway, we got that going for us today,
which is nice.
Yeah, but I went to a party last night. It was for the most part. All the people I grew up with, not all of them, but a lot of them. I actually lived in an area in Northern Virginia, which is Old Bailey's Crossroads. Bailey's Crossroads is actually the intersection, if you're familiar with the D.C. area. It's only about 10 minutes from downtown. But if you take Columbia Pike away from the Pentagon and just stay on it, you go through South Arlington, and then you hit the Falls Church border, and about a quarter of a mile up is a crossroads. It's a very famous crossroads going back to the Civil War. That's Bailey's Crossroads. It's Columbia Pike and Leesburg Turnpike. which is Route 7, which goes all the way to Leesburg and out into the mountains. Of course, Columbia Pike dead ends in Annandale, which I lived there with Carol, my wife, for 7 years before we bought a house in Reston. But the people, I actually was lucky enough to grow up with people from two high schools, because I went and did all of my baseball and all of my early youth, you know, like up through sixth grade. I was in Fairfax County. Then when my dad passed away suddenly at the age of 46 and I was 10, my mom sold the house, didn't want to live there anymore. I don't blame her. It was too big for both of us probably. And ended up moving a mile away and never thought much about it. I was in an apartment. It was kind of cool. It was like, you know, like a dormitory, basically, me and my mom. And what happened was, you know, I went to Ellen Glasgow Junior High, and I was like, I was feeling good about life. You know, I was a safety patrol. I think I was a lieutenant even in the safety patrols. I was riding a bus. I've never ridden a bus before. And I ended up getting called to the office after a week. And I'm thinking, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I did. Back then, I was an angel. I didn't do anything wrong ever. And I get called to the office. And he basically said, are you Bruce Hall? And I go, well, yeah. And they go, do you live at, you know, whatever, 5550 Columbia Pike, Arlington, Virginia? And I went, yeah. They go, you got to go home. You're not in Fairfax County. You have to go to an Arlington County public school. So at the age of 10 in the seventh grade, I end up being thrown out of a school with all my friends in it. And I got to go to Kenmore Junior High. We've got Russell Baxter on the line. Good morning, Russ. How are you, buddy?
Listen, you've got more phone numbers than I won't even say what. So,
oh, I'm sorry. Do I really?
I've got three numbers for you. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I don't have a black book that has that many numbers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not. I was in New York last week, and I had, you know, one of the guys at the station's numbers, and then of course I'm only there maybe a couple of times a year. But we're gonna go over some stuff. We're talking three. Yeah. Russ, did you get a chance to take a peek at – this is a pretty big weekend this weekend, isn't it? I mean, we got some stuff going on in the NFL. It's going to leave some people crying and some people pretty happy, aren't we?
Well, going into the final 3 weeks of the season, 48 regular season games, 33 of them divisional games. We already had one played this week on Thursday night. I think a lot of people were somewhat surprised.
Yeah, no touchdowns.
Of Arizona and St. Louis, but, you know, Arizona just keeps on baffling people, and, you know, they lose players, but they don't lose games. Now 11-3, tied for the most wins in the history of the franchise. Two more to go. I mean, they win one more game, they'll set a franchise record for wins. I don't know how much gas they're going to have left coming into the playoffs. And right. By the way, if Dallas and Philly don't tie tonight,
right,
Arizona is in. That's the only stipulation. If Dallas and Philly tie tonight, there'll be an investigation, I'm sure. So,
well, I don't know, Russ. There wasn't an investigation when Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0, and Wisconsin.
But the line in that minus 58. I wasn't surprised.
Can I tell you what? The line was Wisconsin -4, and that was the largest. Variation in score with the Vegas line and the final score in 15 weeks all season by twice as many points.
I remember somebody back in 1940, I had some extra money, and somebody told me, why don't you take the Redskins in 72.5?
Right.
And lost 73-0. I mean, that's when I became suspicious.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's and we're not going to talk about that because we're talking pro football, but I'll probably go off on that on a rant late in the show today. We're talking to Russell Baxter, the pro football guru. He is everywhere. You can hear Russ, see Russ, read Russ pretty much every day of the week, which is what I enjoy doing, Russ. There's nobody I like reading. Matter of fact, everything you put out there, I send to my people. Let's take a peek at a game real quick, because we do have to talk about this since this station is in New York, goes out of New York. The Giants are playing the Redskins. You can get in for like $28 on StubHub. What do you think about this game? Should anybody waste their time and go to it?
Well, for $28, sure, why not? Now, of course, the beer is going to be $28, but that's a whole different.
Yeah, pretty close. Two of them will. Yep.
Two of them will.
Yep.
Listen, it's been a down year, obviously, for both. The Giants now back-to-back losing seasons. We certainly haven't seen that in a while. The Redskins back-to-back three-win seasons so far. And that's not to say they're going to finish 3-13 again. But, headed for the basement, possibly, which could be, I think, the sixth time in 7 years for the Redskins to finish in the NFC East last. And, of course, the 1 year they didn't, they won the division. There's the curiosity aspect of, is this going to be Tom Coughlin's final go-around? There's now starting to be the curiosity aspect if this is going to be Jay Gruden's only go-around because of all the politics that are surrounding that. That team, and these teams played way earlier in the season on a Thursday night in Washington, and Redskins got lambasted 45-14. Two teams really kind of going nowhere. The Giants continue to play hard. The Redskins continue to play confusing, and it's hard not to like the Giants here.
Yeah, I like them too. I even like them minus the 6.5. Colt McCoy is starting today. And, he got hit on his neck really hard last week. And the one thing that I noticed about that replay that I've seen about 4 or 5 times now, not one guy, if I'm his offensive lineman and I see a guy hit, it was kind of a cheap shot, to be honest with you. I'm afraid, especially losing a ball game and especially being in a situation where, I'm just tired of all this crap. I think I would have gone off on that defensive lineman pretty good if I was a 320-pound offensive lineman. And you didn't see any of that. You just saw a guy looking down at him like, you okay? I tell you what, Russ, we're going to I'm gonna do an NAR spot here, and we're going to be right back. Can you hold on for me?
Sure, absolutely.
Sounds great. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and we're on the phone with Russell Baxter, the pro football guru of the NFL. Russ, you pointed out, as you do all week long, on your Twitter account and on your Facebook account, that 12 AFC teams all at the present time out of 16 have a winning record, which says a lot for 12 of the teams. Which means that the AFC seems to be getting a clue, and four of the teams seem to be looking for a number one draft pick. I sat here and took a peek this week. There's two divisions in the NFL. The NFC South is setting records. I think their total is win losses combined of the four teams is 16-37, and a team may win that division with only 6 wins. Which is pretty sad. The AFC South is similar. If you take Indianapolis out, they're like 11-28. Indianapolis should win that division easily. As a matter of fact, I think, Russ, correct me if I'm wrong, if they win today, I think they win the division, right?
Denver, New England, Indy, all with wins, win divisions today.
Yeah.
But I only think one of them's going to win today.
Which one? Do you think Indy's going to win?
No.
Really?
I think Indy loses, Denver loses. I think New England wins.
Well, I sure hope New England wins because that's one of my top three plays today.
Hey,
let me ask you this, Russ, while I got you on the line. Which game do you like the best?
Are you talking about the entire slate or the three we just talked about?
Well, let's talk about the three that we talked about. What do you think about that New England game? I mean, this looks like it's set up for them to do their normal home feel blast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not only that, the thing that struck me about these teams, even when, Miami won the game against the Jets, we've seen Miami give up 180 yards rushing 3 weeks in a row. A couple of those games in the 200s. New England is extremely balanced. New England's become very physical, especially on defense, especially in the secondary. Miami, it looks like they're fading, especially offensively. They had the 11-point lead at Denver. They let that get away. They slugged their way through the Jets game, although they were probably outplayed in most aspects. Last week, they were up 10-0 on Baltimore, a Baltimore team that's without Helodinato on their defense.
Right.
Can't get their offense going. Wind up getting beat handedly, 28-13. They look like they're wilting. And Buffalo and Miami both hung in this for a while. But it seems like it's all over but the shouting. You know, I think New England goes in. New England certainly remembers what happened on opening day when they got skunked 20-0 in the second half.
Right.
I think they make a little bit of a statement here. I think Miami will have its moments. And the Dolphins have actually beaten them two times in a row, both of those games in Miami. But I think it's been a while since they went up in Fox, so I think they've lost five straight up there, and I expect it to be six.
You know what? I agree with you, Russ. I really like that game. They're giving up almost 10 points now. I think it's 9.5 most everywhere. Started out at 7.5. The thing that, you know, Indianapolis-Houston is interesting because, you know, Houston has to win this game. This is a must-win for them. They win this game, they're a game back, right? I mean, they're just one game back.
Of course, if they lose this game, they're 7-7.
Yeah.
They win the division because the division's over, and they really get pushed back into the backwash of all the other teams. And remember, you know, you already alluded to the thing I talk about all week about the 12 AFC teams. Let's say, Bruce, that three of them fall completely apart. I'm not going to say which three because that's not the point I'm going to say. Let's just say three of them wind up 8-8 or 7-9, okay? Which is possible. Could even be four. Means eight or nine teams are going to have winning records in the conference, and that means three of them are not going to make the playoffs.
Wow. Yep.
Now, bring that up for this reason. Do you know how many winning teams there were in the AFC last year total?
Eight?
Six.
Six.
The six playoff teams.
Wow. What a turnaround.
Do you know how many winning teams there were in the AFC in 2012?
Five?
Six. The six playoff teams.
Again.
You know how many winning teams there were in the AFC in 2011?
I see a pattern. Six?
Yes, six. And five of them were playoff teams. Remember, the Broncos with Tim Tebow as their quarterback
went
8 in the West. Tennessee went home at 9-7. So we haven't seen this from now. That's not saying the AFC is better than the NFC. That's not my point. If you're in the AFC this year, you are either in it or woefully out of it. Remember, the four teams that don't have winning records are all 2-11.
Yeah, and they're all looking for severe help in the offseason. No question about it. And
I said weeks ago, this could be a year where we have the top five draft picks figured out before we have the playoff teams figured out.
Well, I think we know who the first pick's going to be if it's Tampa. I think Tampa's going to take Marcus Mariota, who got the Heisman last week. Did you know that the odds for Mariota to win the Heisman at the one place online you could play the game was 8,000-1. And I asked, will they take a billion-dollar bet? And you know what the answer was? Yes, yeah. But you only get a $5 return. I thought that was funny. They actually wouldn't match it. They just put the number up.
I would have settled for a $100 bet on that.
Yeah, you could take a buck back. Or 18 cents or 8.1 cent or something like that. We're talking to one of my favorite guys, Russell Baxter, here on the line. Russ, you know, I'm looking right now at the Green Bay Buffalo game. Now, you probably know a lot about it. You're not that far off up there. From where that game is going to be played, it's up in northwestern New York, but upper state, they call it, I guess, the Buffalo area. Green Bay's never won there, have they?
No, isn't that just one of those funny things? The Packers have never won in Buffalo, and it's 0-5, by the way. It's not 0-1. So, different quarterbacks. I'm trying to think how many times Brett Favre played up there. It might have been twice.
Yeah, I think it was twice, and I think before that it was back in the Kelly era when, they were struggling a little bit then. But, you know, still, you would think that Buffalo would be a very comfortable place for them to play.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are all kinds of statistics, and you get people who get all bent out of shape when you bring up things like this. That's a historic stat, okay? That's not a stat that's going to determine the winner or loser of this game, okay? Because it's different this and different that.
Sure.
So you kind of try to stress that with people, and they're like, "What? You think Green Bay can't win at Buffalo?" I said, "No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they haven't won at Buffalo." Okay? So that you know how people are. They jump on the littlest things, but it's one of those funny things. Listen, until a couple years ago, the Detroit Lions had never beaten the Redskins in Washington.
I remember, and that was a lot of games. That was like 18 or 19 games.
Bruce, that was, I want to say it was in the 20, well, let's put it this way. Until a couple years ago, when they did it, they had not beaten the Redskins on the road since 1935 when they were the Boston Redskins. Okay?
Yep.
Now, obviously, there's all kinds of different players and different coaches. It's one of those just funny, odd things, and that's what this is. Now, I will say this. What Buffalo brings to the table is a hell of a pass rush, okay? The Packers are protected a lot better this year. Buffalo has been spotty against the run as of late, but they can be very, very good. And here's one little thing. Now, I'm not saying Buffalo is going to win, but these are the kind of things you keep an eye on. Let's not forget who the defensive coordinator is of the Buffalo Bills, a guy who's very familiar with the Green Bay Packers, and that's Jim Schwartz.
Yep. That's for sure, because they were in their division when he was in Detroit. You know what?
So even though teams only play each other every 4 years,
right?
There's a familiarity here.
Absolutely. We got about 2 minutes left for us here. Let me ask you this. I have no inkling to even play with releasing this game. Tell me what you think about Dallas going to Philly today. Does Dallas have a shot there? I mean, they're 6-0 on the road, right?
Well, I think they have a very good shot. They are unbeaten on the road this year. It won actually 7 games in a row on the road, dating back to last season. But here's the thing that intrigues me about this game. We know what happened Thanksgiving Day, basically 2.5 weeks ago. Dallas gets 256 yards rushing. They dominate the Cowboys' offensive line, which has been their hallmark all year. Okay, now let's fast forward a little. These are little subtle factors. Seattle also played on Thanksgiving Day, and they played Philadelphia last week. So Seattle and Philly had 10 days to get ready for each other. We saw what happened. Seattle's offense was on the field for 85 plays opposed to the Eagles' 45 plays. When you play Seattle, safe to say it's a pretty physical football game. Usually is. Okay? Now, after Thanksgiving, Dallas played the following Thursday against Chicago and won on the road. Remember, the Bears also played on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Now, that was, they didn't get the extra time to prepare for the Bears, but they did get a week. Right. But they do get 3 extra days to get ready for this Eagles game. And I think that's might be a little bit of a difference. I think Dallas wins tonight.
Yeah, you know what? I like that side of it. I also like a lot of points being scored in this game because I think that
I'm looking like 6-24, okay? The one thing about Dallas, so let's not get fooled. I hear people talk about them being improved on defense. I don't buy that at all. Improved on defense. Their defensive improvement is evident when it's not on the field.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's not on the field because of that offensive line. Now, when they played Philly on Thanksgiving, they couldn't pass block or run block. Credit. You got to give credit to where credit's due. But I like Dallas in this game tonight, and I picked Philly to go to the Super Bowl. Doesn't say they still will. I'm not saying Dallas is going to win the division, but I think Dallas is primed here with that extra rest, and I think DeMarco Murray does what DeMarco Murray's done all year.
Yeah, and I think Tony Romo needed that extra rest for that back. You could tell in that game where they played on Thanksgiving, he was sore, he was stiff, he looked horrible.
I mean, that was easily their worst game of the year. But Philly also took it to them.
Yeah, they did.
As well. Remember, that was a short week for both of them, but it's a short week if you're healthy, and it's a shorter week if you're not healthy, which Romo, of course, is going to play through that all year.
I got you. Russ, tell everybody how they can follow you, not just on ProFootballGuru.com, but the other places, the report and all of that.
Sure, Backs Football Guru on Twitter, ProFootballGuru.com, ProFootballGuru on Sports Blog. My Matter of Facts column's on the front page right now. We're back doing some stuff for End Zone Score, Bleacher Report, of course. End Zone Score, by the way, I have a feature I put out last night. Is Aaron Rodgers having a better year this year than he did 3 years ago when he was the MVP? I'd be curious to hear everybody's thoughts. You know, check out endzonescore.com and leave a comment. Tell me what you think. And you're almost splitting hairs. 35 touchdowns and 3 picks this year, Bruce. Remember 3 years ago, he threw 45 and 6 picks.
Yep, I remember, and he was unbelievable. And their season was cut short by a lot of different things, unfortunately.
Yes.
Russell, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Yeah, I love what you do for the fans out there. We'll be talking to you soon, buddy, okay?
Got it, sir. And if I don't before then, have a great holiday.
You too, Russ. Russell Baxter, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com or by going to facebook.com/brucehallsports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
This is Bruce. I have a good friend and one of the best NFL insiders that you can ever listen to, Clark Judge, on the line. Clark, thanks for calling in, partner. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I went to one of those Christmas parties that took a lot of energy out of me last night. I must have seen 30 people I hadn't seen maybe but once or twice since high school.
That's hard to say because you also do not drink. So I want to know what you were doing at this party
eating a lot.
Were there a lot of masks and a bowl with peas in it?
I ate a lot and I drank a lot of Orangina. That's all I can say. Hey, Clark.
Sounds like you just came from the party, Bruce.
I'm going to tell you something. I had 3 cups of coffee before I even hit the road today, and I was very relaxed on the way over here. Hey, listen.
We'll try to keep you awake.
Well, I know. See, that's one of the best things about having you on. When you're talking, I can't do anything but pay attention because you never waste a breath, and you're the only guy I've ever had on my show that matches my energy level. Matt gets mad at me because I'm too energetic. Sometimes he goes, Bruce, you need to lower your voice. You need to be, you know, whatever.
Simmer down.
I can't be who I'm not. Clark, let's get right into these games, okay? Because I know you, and I know you're looking at about 6 or 7 of these games today.
Yep.
I like Oakland, and I'm not going to play. It's not going to be a big play, but for some reason, this group is getting together, and they want to play football right now. Now, they waited a while to do it. But they're starting to play some ball. They've already beaten Kansas City once at their place, and that's not really that big of a home field advantage there. What do you think?
No, that's right. No, well, I mean, it used to be a big home field advantage, but yeah, I like Oakland too. I mean, what was the line? 10? I mean, the line's way too high. Kansas City's floundering. The season's gone. What are they playing for? They're playing for respect, really. You got a team that's a dangerous team right now, only because you've lost to them before, and they're beginning to get their act together. That said, I'll take Kansas City straight up. I'll take Oakland against the points, against the spread.
I like that call. That's
it went up to 11 now.
Well,
so if you were worried about 10,
which is fine 11. With me because I haven't talked to my guy in Vegas yet. The Baltimore Ravens, they have some kind of unreal number, like 85% when they're a double-digit favorite. They're 14-point favorites against the Jacksonville team. But let's just say they're okay. They're not very good. I mean, they can't score enough points to stay with Baltimore. The only thing that scares me about this game is Baltimore has a tendency, even at home this year, to kind of relax. You know what I mean?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, Baltimore's going to win this game. They can name their tune. 14 points is high, but Bruce, I've seen Jacksonville, so have you. They're bad, and they're bad on the road. I think whatever that number is, I'm taking Baltimore. Baltimore's at home. This time of year plays very well. It's in now the playoff contention. Could win that division, and it knows it. Every game is meaningful for it. I don't know what Torrey Smith's status is for this game. I don't care. I just Baltimore is a lot better team than Jacksonville. They've got a reason to win this game. Jacksonville doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, Baltimore, like John Harbaugh does every year with that team, it seems, some younger players end up coming out of nowhere and playing very well. He's got a couple of good receivers. Hell, Jacoby Jones, you never know. He could catch two touchdown passes on 10 plays he's in there. But yeah, I like Baltimore in this game too. And the thing I really like about it is I might just drive up there 20 minutes and watch the game.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, I won't be in traffic because everybody will already be in the stadium.
No, they're all staying at home to watch that Redskins game.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about that. I asked Clark, for those of you out there in the audience, you know, Clark lives in New York City, and he gets over to MetLife Field probably more often than he would like to. And I asked him, I said, you're going to go see the Skins and the Giants? He goes, no, I'm going to stay home and watch NFL football. That was excellent, Clark. Great stand up there. Indianapolis this is a big game. They're hosting the Houston Texans. Houston has got some weapons. They got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I'm not crazy about, and the Indianapolis Colts have Superman. You know, Indianapolis, I could see this being a very close game. What do you think?
I love Indianapolis in this game. I don't know how close it's going to be. What's the line? 6.5?
Yeah.
I'll take Indianapolis with that because you mentioned the key figure here, and it's not Andrew Luck to me. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. How is he going to beat these guys? They've never won there. They've never won in Indianapolis.
0-12,
Indianapolis,
right?
Smells the finish. Right. I mean, Indianapolis smells the finish line. You got Andrew Luck against Ryan Fitzpatrick. Next. I mean, that's the end of the conversation. I just don't see how Houston wins this game unless Luck turns the ball over every other time he's got it. He's not going to do that. Indianapolis is a better team, a vastly better team. They'll put the Texans away, and then we'll be talking about next year, and people will be talking about J.J. Watt as an MVP candidate, which he's not. He's a good player, but he's not an MVP candidate because he doesn't play offense. And secondly, plays for a team that's an also-ran team. That's the end of that conversation.
I agree with you. You know this kid Heron, the running back for Indy? He's averaging 5.1 yards a carry. I mean, you would have never thought anybody was going to be doing that. Except Ahmad Bradshaw, I think, was about 4.4, something like that, before he got hurt. He did a great job when he was in. And this kid, Heron, is doing a great job. I like this kid a lot. He's going to have to carry the ball 15 to 20 times probably per game for them to even advance in the playoffs. Whether they advance in the AFC playoffs, I have no idea. But it's going to always be fun watching Andrew Luck, and I agree with you. I think I need to be on Indianapolis possibly for 3 stars. Cincinnati's at Cleveland. We got Johnny Manziel show. I mean, does it get better than this?
This one I don't know how to figure out because Cincinnati's on a downward spiral now. And I think they're headed out of the playoff picture possibly, but they're not going to win that division from what I've seen the last couple of weeks. They just don't look like a team that's got its act together. I won't say maybe in the last couple of weeks, last week certainly. But you look at that schedule and go in there, it's going to be a tough place for them to win, primarily because they played these guys before at home and got drilled 24-3. So now, what do we know about Johnny Manziel? We know he's an uneven quarterback who looked awful in preseason. What is he going to give you today? I think he's going to give you a lot of everything. I think he's going to give you some plays to remember and some plays to forget. I think I would take Cincinnati in this game only because he's such an X factor. And what I saw in the preseason wasn't very good. Yeah, we had highlights, but we also had a lot of lowlights. I think I like the Bengals here, but I see Cleveland's like a 1-point. Last I saw, they're like a 1-point favorite. I don't really get that, except I think people looking at this saying, "Listen, they beat them in Cincinnati before and smoked them. Their defense is Cleveland's defense is very good. You've got to wake up Andy Dalton, and I just don't know which Andy Dalton's showing up week to week. You just don't know. That said, I think Cincinnati understands how desperate times are now. They're about to lose control of that division. They don't want that to happen. I think I'm leaning towards Cincinnati here.
Yep, no, I hear you, Clark. New England's is hosting Miami. Obviously, first game of the season, and they've beaten New England, and you know how I feel about that. New England's unbeatable at home. Well, that's not a big surprise to anybody that can read. And I don't mean to belabor that point, but they have a good team. They've got 4 good, decent running backs that can all get 4 or 5 yards a pop anytime they want. Oh, yeah, and they have Tom Brady, and they've got Gronkowski. I don't see this game even being close. Do you?
No, no. No, absolutely not. New England, let's move on to the next one. New England's in a lock. I mean, this one's very easy to figure out.
You love this game, don't you?
That first, yeah, I do. I love this game. That first game of the season, what happened in the second half? New England didn't score. Also, it's about 90 degrees that day. Ain't going to be 90 degrees here today, Bruce. It's more like in the mid-30s. So you've got Tom Brady against Ryan Tannehill. Miami's going backwards. New England's trying to get home field advantage. This is a lock. New England.
No, I hear you. Listen, I'm gonna sell something here for one of my sponsors. Can you hold on for me and we'll finish them off?
Yeah, sell it. Make the money. Make
now,
the money.
Now, you got Bruce. It. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'll be back in a minute with Clark Judge and more NFL locks.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with Clark Judge of Talk of Fame Network. Clark, tell everybody, you know, if you would, all about Talk of Fame and what you guys are all about.
Yeah, I did this about a year ago, and then we started up this summer. I did a year ago in Boston, and we sold it to a national distributor. It's a talkoffamenetwork.com is our website. I'm working with Ron Borges of the Boston Herald, Rick Gosselin of the Dallas Morning News. The three of us are Hall of Fame board of selectors, and we had this idea that, hey, listen, people don't really understand about the Hall of Fame process. There are a lot of people running around today, Andrew Luck, one of those guys you mentioned, who are sort of Hall of Fame worthy when you look down the line. But there are a lot of people who have retired who are Hall of Fame worthy, and what happens is a lot of people will tell you that so-and-so belongs in the Hall of Fame. They'll say he's a future Hall of Famer. Antonio Gates, future Hall of Famer, okay? Tony Gonzalez, future Hall of Famer. Well, but they can't tell you why. We can. We can also tell you why or why not they may be going to the Hall of Fame. And we're in those meetings. We have been for a long time, and everything's taken through a Hall of Fame perspective. But I want to make one thing clear, Bruce. It doesn't mean we're talking only about guys in the past. We're talking about guys in the present and also guys in the future. Everyone from Unitas, Johnny Unitas, to Johnny Manziel, we've seen them all. We have over 110 years of covering football, so we can do it with some authority and with some perspective.
And tell everybody how they can look at your late Sunday night, early Monday morning.
Sure.
It's an incredible blog that you do.
It's a recap of this weekend, of well, actually the weekend, but Sunday's games. We haven't gotten into Saturday's games yet, but it's called Judgments, and it's put up on Sunday night, and it's recycled again Monday morning on talkoffamenetwork.com. You log in talkoffamenetwork.com, and it'll be a recap of everything you've seen or heard today.
That's fantastic. All right, Clark, you ready for the second half of this?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go get them. Let's not talk about the Giants Washington, okay? Because nobody cares about that game anyway. But if somebody held a gun to my head, I think the Giants do what they did to them down in Washington. I think they just match up pretty well with them, and I like their quarterback compared to the one that we're going to stick out there. What do you think?
Yeah,
I think the Giants should win this game, shouldn't they?
Oh, Giants should win this game easily. Listen, when your head coach says this team is a mess, you got to admit that team's a mess. I mean, it's a team that's so disorganized, shredded. And I'm talking about the Redskins. Now, the Giants are a mess, too, in a different respect. They just simply can't win games that they should. But this is a game they will win. They should win it. They will win it because it's the Redskins. They beat them badly down there. They'll beat them again here.
Now, listen, Green Bay's at Buffalo. They've never won there. It's one of the few places.
Right.
Now, they haven't played that many games. I think they're 0-5 there. And I think that
Correct.
Goes all the way back to Jim Kelly era, too. How do you see this opening up? I mean, Buffalo to me, I mean, Green Bay this past week let me down big time because they jumped all over Atlanta. And then at the end of the game, they acted like they were just kind of cruising. I mean, that's
this is a potential trap game. I think this is a potential trap, Bruce. This one scares me a little because some guys are showing up on the injury report for Green Bay. Is this guy going to play? Is that going to play? They're talking about, you know, Starks and Lacy will spread the ball out in terms of carries. We're going to divide the carries there. Some injuries here that you go, are they? It's sort of like they're sort of figuring out we can cruise this through this game and we'll be okay. I'm not so sure. Buffalo's defense is very difficult to solve, and they'll be tough on these guys. And it's a tough place to play this time of year. That said, you come down to, again, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers, Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton's not any good. I mean, really, he's a good backup. He can win you some games, but he's not going to win you a lot of games. And you're finding that out if you're a Buffalo fan lately. Makes a lot of mistakes. I mean, you saw that pass in the end zone last week, intercept. It makes a lot of mistakes. So when it comes down to it, it's Aaron Rodgers. Do you believe? Do you have a conviction in him? Absolutely, I do. He should win this game. But I don't know what the spread is here. It makes me nervous. I like Buffalo at home just simply because I think that defense plays tough. Could they beat them straight up? I think they could. I really think they could. But then I come down to Kyle Orton. I go, no, I trust Aaron Rodgers. I do not trust him.
Yeah, they're real borderline to me. I think I'm going to pass on that game. They're getting 5 points, though, right now in Vegas.
Right, right.
But you know what? That ain't enough for me, not with Aaron Rodgers. And
tells you Las Vegas is worried about it, too. Honestly, it tells me Las Vegas is, too, because this is a team that produces a ton of points. I'm talking about Green Bay. But you're right. They let Atlanta walk back into that game. But Matt Ryan's a decidedly better quarterback than Kyle Orton.
Yeah, he is. And listen, here's the reason Green Bay may not let him walk back into it. Detroit. Detroit keeps winning. And they're at home. They're giving up 7.5, 8 points. I don't think that's too many points with that defense. And it looks like Matthew Stafford, it looks finally like Calvin Johnson is healthy again. Golden Tate has been awesome all year. They're running the football very effectively right now. Detroit is going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're going to be a wild card.
Yeah, to me, the story of this team is, as you mentioned, Matt Stafford, but that defense is playing so well. You have good defense, you're going to go a long way. We learned that last year with Seattle, but this is a very good defense. Now, is it good enough to win today? Sure. Yeah, they should win today. Is it good enough to carry them deep in the playoffs? No, because they'll go in as a wild card. Listen, they're going to finish the season with Green Bay. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen when they go up to Green Bay, Lambeau Field? Well, they beat them earlier this year at Ford Field. Different environment, indoors, early in the season.
Right.
Green Bay's rolling right now. And when they're at Lambeau, not only is Aaron Rodgers tough to stop, what about Jordy Nelson? I think he's got 6 passes of 50 or more yards this year, all of them. All of those catches have been at Lambeau Field. It just tells you, for whatever reason, people fall asleep on them at Lambeau Field. I don't get it. But those two sync up very nicely there. That team's very comfortable there. Yeah, it was sort of scary how they let Atlanta get back in the game, but they won. That's all that matters. They won. They will win that division. When Detroit goes out on the road as a wild card, they'll be one and done.
You know, I don't see the Jets. I'm going to jump to the Jets game. I don't see them winning because they don't want to screw up their spot in the draft. but I asked you this question probably 2 months ago, Clark, and you very quickly said, no, he's not going anywhere. I was talking about John Idzik. Do you still think John Idzik is staying?
I'm not as definitive, but I do think so because it'd be an admission that Woody Johnson, I don't know what I'm doing, which I don't think he does, but still to make that admission is going to be difficult. I think he will keep him. That said, Woody Johnson is very sensitive, as we all know, to public criticism and to the response of the public. And there's been this response lately, get rid of everybody. But the first guy is not going to be Rex. It should be the GM. He hasn't given him the players to win with. So if he acknowledges that and caves to public pressure, yeah, he'll be gone. But if I'm a betting man, I'd say no. I'm saying Idzik stays, Rex goes.
All right, I got you, buddy. And everybody wants to hear that answer for sure. Denver, is it San Diego? This is a big game for both teams. San Diego has to win this game. Denver, maybe, maybe not, but is Peyton, I mean, I read something that you wrote this week, and I have to agree with you. He looks like he's losing a little juice on his fastball.
Yeah, this is one of the most intriguing games, if not the most intriguing game to me out there, Bruce. I used to cover the Chargers, so I'm interested to see how they rally around Phillip Rivers if they do today. This is a must-win for them. It's their last game at home. And what do we know about Rivers? He's tough to beat at home. What do we know about Rivers in December? He's almost impossible to beat those last four games, 29-4. But he lost last week, and he lost to New England when they couldn't put any points on the board offensively. Now he come against Denver. You're not going to win the division. You're 2 games behind him, and you got beaten out there. But you've got to beat Peyton Manning, and they haven't done that. They're 1-5 against him, including the playoffs, since he's come to Denver. But there's something going on with him, and he said this week, listen, I'm not hurt. There's nothing going on. Listen, one thing I know about Peyton Manning, he's a guy who produces big numbers, but he's also a guy who cares a lot about big numbers. Yeah, he loves winning, but he loves big numbers. He had a 51-game streak of throwing touchdown passes last week. plenty of opportunities to throw the ball in the end zone. He didn't do it. And then if you watched in the week before against Kansas City, balls fluttered, wasn't really close to receivers. I agree with you. Something's going on there, and I want to see him respond today. If he's healthy, okay, then prove it. Go out there and throw for 350 yards and three touches. I want to see that Peyton Manning, because you've done that before against these guys. You can do it again. But San Diego beat these guys in December last year in Denver. They've got to win here. The difference here, they had Ryan Matthews that day in Denver. He's hurt. I don't know if he's going to play today. They need him. They've got to control the clock. And I want to see how Manning responds, because it's not so much this game, Bruce. You're going to get a feel of Manning going in the playoffs now. If you see him, you go, uh-oh, not the same. You better start making Denver not one of your preseason or your regular season picks to go far. He's not a guy right now, to me, that's carrying that ball club. C.J. Anderson in the defense is. Peyton Manning needs to find his mojo again.
No, I totally agree. The only thing that scares me a little bit, taking the 4 points in San Diego, is that Denver pass rush. It's been formidable, and it's
right.
Getting better every week. These guys are getting used to each other, but don't they look like a lot more physical team than they did in years past to you, Denver?
Oh, yeah, they do. And they are. But, you know, last week, again, watch that San Diego game against New England. San Diego's defense played very, very well against one of the top quarterbacks ever, Tom Brady. Now you've got one of the top quarterbacks ever in Peyton Manning. If they can play that well, the onus is on Philip Rivers and that offense to move the ball. And I agree with you. If you can hold up against the pass rush, you'll be fine. But you need that running attack. So if you don't have him, who are you going to have? I mean,
right.
Is it Brown? Is it going to be? I mean, who's it going to be?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. You know, the Chargers are all about Philip Rivers and getting the ball to Gates and getting out to Floyd and Allen. Keenan Allen got taken out of the game last week by Revis. I mean, could Chris Harris do that to him today, or could Aqib Talib? Yeah, I guess they could, but they're not that kind of guy. I think San Diego's going to be able to move the ball against him, and if they can keep those chains moving, prolonged drives, you keep Manning off the field. Now, Manning's MO, as I said, has been quick strikes, boom, down the field. Hasn't thrown the ball down the field effectively at all lately. So if he can't do that, I think Denver's going down.
No, I think you're right, and I think the I'm going to pass on it, but the side you want to be on is on the dog. Seattle, this is my favorite game of the day. I've had this game circled for 2 months. Seattle's going to destroy San Francisco, aren't they?
Couldn't agree with you more.
Is San Francisco going to, are they going to score a touchdown in this game?
49ers?
I don't know how they're going to get it. How would they get it?
I'm going to say they score no more than 10 in this game, but yeah, I think they do. I don't know either, but they'll find a way. Seattle's rolling right now, but you got to wonder. I mean, people say Legion of Boom is back. Yeah, I agree. But the last three games, Bruce, you know, it was against backup quarterback Drew Stanton, against the backup quarterback Mark Sanchez, and against quarterback who probably should be benched and Colin Kaepernick. So is it the defense or is it the quarterback? It's somewhere in between there, but they are getting their swagger back. That's what it's all about. And Russell Wilson does not turn the ball over. He's smart with the football. Colin Kaepernick's not smart with the football. I agree with you. They've gone up there before and gotten smoked. They're going to get smoked again today.
You know, and Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the West. There's no question about that.
No question. Absolutely. And honestly, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. For all this talk about Andrew Luck, and I understand it, I'm an Andrew Luck guy, but this guy doesn't get enough attention. And all he does is win ball games, wins a ton of games.
And you know what? You know who this kid reminds me of? Jim Thorpe. He can play, and he's a great baseball player, too. And I guarantee you, he could. I mean, he's just a great athlete. You know,
right. No, he's a great athlete. He does a lot of things. But, you know, listen, this sport's got a lot of great athletes. Deion Sanders played, you know, both ways. And Bo Jackson played. There are a lot of guys out there do the same thing. Colin Kaepernick would have been drafted, probably was,
as
by
a pitcher.
A baseball team. Yep. As a pitcher, yeah.
He was like 92, 93 when he was in high school, supposedly.
He had a great arm. But unfortunately for him, he's starting to throw that high fastball. I mean, high like 5 feet over his head.
Yeah, he just looks unhappy. And I think that has a little bit to do with the situation with Harbaugh. Clark, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Clark Judge, everybody. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. You got to listen to this guy's show. When is it on, Clark? On Fridays? What time?
I know it's on, though. You just have to check the local listings. It's on around the country. I think it's in 82 markets around the country, but you'll see where to listen to and when to listen to it. But generally on Sunday morning.
Sounds great, Clark. Hey, have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Speaking of Roy G, we have to congratulate him.
Oh, yeah.
He's another father again. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, he's got a brand new bouncing baby boy. He was like 21 inches long. I saw his dad and his mom last night. I'm sure he's home hanging out with Haley, but he's got two boys now, not one. Congratulations, Roy.
Poor guy.
Daddy.
I have one boy, and that's enough.
I look at the kid, and he's a kid, and I'm thinking, he's got two kids. Man, that is awesome. Haley, you did a good job, hon. You did great. And looking forward to seeing Roy. I gotta take something over there that I bought the kid. By the time I take it over there, it probably won't fit on his leg.
Bring something over for Roy, like a little white pill of Xanax or something.
It's whatever. Nah, Roy will be doing good. He'll be hanging out with his oldest boy now a lot. But you know, that's always good news anytime anybody has a baby, especially your buddy. Hey, we got somebody on the line. I'm pretty sure this is Rick Snyder. Rick, how are you, buddy?
Good. Ready to go.
Hey, listen, I appreciate your kind words yesterday. I did get down there. I got down at Arlington Cemetery. Rick's not only one of the best sports writers I know, he's also a tour guide, owns his own tour company in D.C., and they placed something like 900,000 wreaths on all of the graves at Arlington Cemetery yesterday. And you don't think there's that many there until you walk from Fort Myer Gate all the way down to where my parents are buried. I mean, that's a big place, you know it?
Yeah, I made that same walk about a week ago on the rain, and I think it's about 2 miles when you go sideways.
I felt like it was about four when I finished, yeah, and it was uphill coming back up by Lee Mansion. I was actually on the phone with a good buddy of mine. I was taking pictures and sending them to him. You know how when you're right in front of Lee Mansion, you look down Memorial Bridge, and then there's the Lincoln Memorial. It makes a beautiful picture, especially when you get all the graves in it.
Well, that's the view that John F. Kennedy saw a few months before he died, and he remarked to his wife, "I could look at this view forever." And that's why Kennedy is buried at the foot of the Lee Mansion.
See, I didn't know that, and I just learned that. And that's not in your Redskin book, Rick, or I would have remembered it. Tell everybody about your Redskin book. You're down to one box now?
Well, that's in my house. I can always get more. But
it's a great book.
I'm a real publisher. They just send me books, too. But 100 Things Redskins Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It's part of about a 90-book series by Triumph Publishing on all the different teams. I think the Giants had one a year or two ago, things like that. And it tells 100 great stories, including RFK's burial at Arlington National Cemetery next to his brother, and the big fight that Lyndon B. Johnson tried to stop it. And so in the end, Kennedy cabinet members made RFK Stadium named after RFK instead of LBJ in a last-minute backstabbing to LBJ.
I remember that. That was in your book.
Yeah, that's in the book. I mean, there's a lot of great stories that there were stories I kind of heard of but didn't really know the whole thing. Like, you know, Lone Star Dietz, the coach, was supposedly an Indian. And he wanted to be an Indian. He lived like an Indian, but he was not born an Indian. And that was proven because in World War One, he's coaching out in Washington and he's using too much sugar during rationing time. And the guy at the diner next to him says, "Quit pouring so much sugar in your coffee." He told him to blank off. That guy turned out to be the local head of the draft board who figured out that he wasn't an Indian, and that was evading the draft back then.
And he went to
prison for it. So, just for, you know, just for something stupid like that that happened. So, there's a lot of great memories in the book.
What a great story! So, are you gonna sit home and watch all these games on TV today, or you got some work?
Yeah, the Redskins were up at the Giants, and I didn't have to travel because it's not an important game, but I will watch it. And yeah, I'd like to see a little Johnny Manziel today. See what he does. And, you know, the Eagles are playing Cowboys today, right, at night game. And
absolutely. So, that's going to be a big game, too. Plus, Seattle's playing San Francisco, and that's my play of the day. I have Seattle just destroying them today at home.
Yeah. The Seahawks, after a shaky start, they remember they have to actually play football again. And you know, they're the best team in the NFC, probably. Them or Green Bay. And they're back in stride. Where San Francisco is like Washington, their coach is kind of floundering. The locker room's all destroyed, and you're wondering what happened to Vernon Davis in that offense, things like that. And I think Harbaugh's time with the 49ers is over.
Hey, let me ask you this, and you probably have the answer to this, but isn't Jed York DeBartolo's brother-in-law?
I believe so.
I think he's married to Eddie's sister. You know, ever since Carmen Policy and Eddie had to get rid of the team, you know, divest themselves, which a lot of people don't know that story anyway, and I'd rather talk about what we were going to talk about than that. But ever since that happened, they just haven't been the same. I mean, they've had some good years. Don't get me wrong. They've gone to the NFC Championship game because their scouting department was so strong. And I like Jimmy Harbaugh. I mean, Jimmy Harbaugh, you know, at one time had a great coaching staff there. Slowly but surely, you know, like all good teams do, the good coaches end up going elsewhere and getting better jobs sometimes. And
your staff is such a underrated process in all of this. And I've seen really good coaches suddenly go bad because – people didn't pay attention, but he lost his assistants. And not that it's all their credit, but, you know, it's the right chemistry of everything. I mean, University of Maryland went from really good to bad when they lost both their offensive and defensive coordinators, and the head coach was still the same guy. You know, it's all on your staff and your scouting department, and it takes a village to try and do it, and unfortunately the Redskins have village idiots. But, you know, good teams know how to do this and bad teams don't.
Let's do this. There was a good article Mark Canizzaro wrote, and I sent it out to Jonesy. I might have even sent it to you, but it was in the New York Post, I guess, you know, which is one of the two, you know, kind of big papers everybody in New York likes to read. And the thing I liked about the piece was it was basically just talking about Dan Snyder and how dysfunctional everything has been pretty much since he got there. Ricky, why don't you explain to everybody what's been going on, you know, in the locker room and this thing with Robert Griffin and now Jay Gruden, who, you know, has come here and everybody thinks about Jay as being a kid, but he's 46 years old. I honestly, every time I look at him, I just think he's leaving on his own. I think he may just resign and let him keep the money. What do you think?
I don't think he'll resign. Nobody walks away from $16 million. You know, if you get fired, you can take it with you. Although the new team, whatever the new team pays you, comes off a tab. But that's still minor money. I'm a little, you know, I really like Jay in that he's a football coach. And he's not into the politics of everything else like everybody else at Redskins Park seemed to be.
Right.
But you got to win to maintain that attitude. And, you know, Robert Griffin Jr. got hurt early. And, you know, his backups played hot and cold. And Gruden just seems to not really want to play Robert. I mean, Colt McCoy has a sprained neck coming into the Giants game. He may start. I don't know if he'll finish because one good shot on it would probably knock him out of a game.
Right.
So, but Robert's sort of like being, you know, put on two. I'm surprised he's not three. And, you know, he's soured too. I mean, this is something that people said during Robert's first year. Could he handle adversity? And so far, he hasn't done a very good job. It's somebody that's always been successful in his life and suddenly he's been knocked down. Can you get back up? I haven't seen him get back up. I don't know that he will. And my guess is the Redskins try and trade Robert in the offseason. I can't see him getting more than a four. That escalates to maybe a three or a two.
Uh-huh.
If he were to go somewhere else and play well, there's a lot of fear that he would go to the Eagles if they just cut him. So I think Robert could still play in the NFL, but you have to have the right system, and Jay doesn't seem willing to do that. And Robert's lost something, you know, off his legs from those injuries. So he's kind of trapped in a no-win situation. I don't think Robert will be in the league for too many more years. Good guy, but, you know, and then the locker room is kind of poison. I've never seen such a mentally weak locker room in my life, 36 years covering this. They are just a bunch of big babies. And, you know, it's all collapsed. That's partly on the coach not toughening them up more and slapping them down. So, at the end of the year, could Gruden be gone? There's a possibility of that. You know, Snyder may just eat the money and say, let's move on. But, you know, he's had a lot of big-name coaches that haven't worked, and that – it all comes down after 15 years of ownership if Snyder doesn't provide the proper support for his coaching staff. He either undermines them, they don't have a good enough scouting system, it's one of the smallest in the league, you know, they're too willy-nilly on their picks, politics plays the games in these things, you know, they just have a bad organization. And it's not going to get better anytime soon because a billionaire owner doesn't look in the mirror every morning and say, it's me. He says, it's you. You know, he didn't get to be a billionaire by saying I'm at fault.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
And he's not going to change. So, you know, they're just going to be mediocre, and once every 7 years they'll get lucky and win a few games. But, you know, it's a troubled franchise. It has been for a long time, but I think the Redskins fans are finally realizing it, and they are abandoning it in droves. The Dallas and Eagles games coming up at home will be mostly opposing fans.
No, I hear you, Ricky. Listen, I always love it when you call in and talk about this. Hey, do you want to? Can you stay on another segment? You want to pick some games with me?
Sure.
All right, sounds great. We'll be back with Rick Snyder in a minute. For a first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Rick Snyder and myself, Bruce Hall, will be back in a minute with more from AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back with Rick Snyder. Rick, you're with Washington Post Express, correct.com?
Right, them, and also 106.7 The Fan here in Washington.
That's great. And tell everybody, I mean, you also do a lot of horse racing stuff, which I like. Anytime when we get into the spring and we got the Triple Crown coming up, Rick's the guy to talk to. How long you been doing horses, Ricky?
I was a beat writer, believe it or not, back when we used to have beat writers for back in the 80s till 91, and horses have kind of fallen off the national landscape. There aren't many beat writers left anymore, but I've covered the Triple Crown for a little over 30 years, I think, and Breeders' Cups, and you know, I grew up in a rural area, and I was around horses as a kid, and working around them, so I kind of gravitated to it. Not many sports writers want to deal with horse racing back then. They didn't understand it. Listen, all you need to know is it's 2 minutes. The first one to that wire wins. You know, it's not that hard of sport to figure out. And I have walked away with more money than I've lost over the years.
I got to tell you, when I was younger, and when I was in the, you know, I was in the sports ticket business and the sports entertainment business for 30 years. I didn't even get into radio till, you know, I used to do Doc's show on Thursdays for about a half an hour with him, just going over games. And this was like 7 or 8 years ago. But I used to go to Laurel, like, or even I used to go to Rosecroft. You know, races like race 1 through 4 just to play 2 triples. You know what I mean? And horse racing is, I don't know what it is about horse racing, but it's one of the most relaxing things you could do to sit there and look at a sheet and handicap it and then watch the horses walk out, you know, and see who you're. It's fun. Don't you agree?
Yeah. Unlike other sports that during timeouts have to bomb you with ads. There isn't that at racetracks. You have half hour between races. But, of course, there's now simulcasting, so you can bet a race every few minutes if you want to run around like the addicts do, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the old days of just coming to the track and watching this track, and that's how I do it. I can't bet other tracks. I don't know them. But you go down the paddock, you look at the horses. It's a totally different thing. Now today it's numbers games, and these guys are running around like Twitter heads or something. But you know, horse people are great people. They appreciate the media coming through. They're great stories that aren't really told often. And, you know, I'm working on one now about a woman who came here from Iceland who's a jockey. And I had never heard of such a thing. And
right.
She's trying to get started. There's just a lot of great stories in horse racing, great normal people. You only get paid if you win. So, you know, it's not a, you know, diva sport. You know, these are hardworking people from dawn to dusk. And the horses are just fun. So, you know, you prove it on the track. Whoever you are, it's right there. And I think it's a great sport. I wish more people would go. I mean, up where you are at Belmont and all those tracks, those are the greatest. I mean, they're so huge up there. New York racing's always been a great one. So is Jersey. You know, East Coast, I tell my friends at Churchill Downs, think they're a big deal. I said, you know, we were racing here for 100 years when you were an open prairie.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so it's just where history is.
Hey, let's pick a few games. What do you say? Right. You know, the one I haven't even talked to anybody about today is one of the biggest games, and it has to do with the National NFC East with Philly and Dallas. You know, we know what happened on Thanksgiving Day. We kind of know why it happened. What's going to happen today, do you think? Do you think Philly wins again at home, or you think Dallas goes in there and they win another game on the road?
You know, I'm not a big Dallas fan just because we watch them collapse every year.
Yeah.
When they were 6-2, I said it's going to be awful hard to make 8-8. But, you know, they may do it practically. You know, I think Eagles are the best team in the NFC East. You know, they've just got the speed. They're so quick, you know, all these things. I mean, if they got a real quarterback in there again, they'd be dominating. You know, they'd be right there in the Super Bowl talk. So I think the Eagles beat them easily.
Well, good for you. I'm glad you feel that way because that's a two-star play for me. I just, you know, Tony Romo in December, it's like you say, you know, plus he's about 60, 70%. You can look at him and just tell his back is killing him, you know?
Yeah, that you can't play that way and win titles. You just can't. I mean, he's behind a great offensive line, which the Cowboys have done it right. You know, they've built that offensive line, and that's going to carry them for years to come. You know, you try. It's not the sexy picks, but the linemen are what make a great team.
I totally agree. I mean, the Redskins, that's when they were great, they had a great defensive line and a great offensive line. Now they have not much, not in those areas. Here's another game, Green Bay Buffalo. Now, you Ricky, you remember Jim Kelly in that Buffalo era when you walked in that stadium. I mean, you had your hands full. Didn't matter who was coming in. I mean, it was hard to beat the Bills there, and it still is to a certain extent, especially when it's nice and cold and the weather's there. Let me ask you this. Do you think Green Bay wins their first game in Buffalo today?
Yes. Yes. I mean, Buffalo is, what, 7-6?
Yeah.
You know,
they've
had a nice season. They've had a nice season, but they won't go to the playoffs kind of season. You know, they're finishing against hard teams. But Green Bay's looking like they're in full sync. I mean, they didn't play their greatest game last week, but, you know, I just don't think Buffalo can beat the really good teams. I think Green Bay or Seattle are the best team in the NFC.
No, I totally agree, and I think New England's close right there. I think the Patriots are slowly but surely building a little juggernaut over there. They seem to be getting better every game. Here's a game that I want to talk about, and a few people are going to want to talk about it that are, you know, heavy into the, you know, playing one game or another up in the New York area, and this is the Giants-Redskins game. Colt McCoy's starting today. He's, you know, he's probably 70, 80%. This is a Jay Gruden kind of decision where, you know, it was basically like, this, you know, he hurt his neck. I saw the play. You know, I didn't even see the play where he got hurt until today, early this morning. He took a pretty nasty shot on the back of his neck.
Yeah, it wasn't a cheap shot or anything. The guy got free. And they say that the guy was surprised he was that free. Like, well, you know, this Redskins
get used to it.
And he just kind of hit the guy a little awkwardly more than he would have. So, you know, it was no hard feelings on that one. But, the Redskins just don't seem to have anything left in them. So I think the Giants win, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants win big. I mean, the Redskins are out of gas. You know, they lost 24-0 to the Rams last week. They lost recently to the Bucs. I called that one of the worst games in 20 years for this franchise. I think the San Francisco game was – I mean, St. Louis was close. You know, Indianapolis lit them up for 49. I mean, it was ridiculous what's been going on. They're out of gas. I don't think they'll win again. But I do think McCoy – I wouldn't think he'll finish the whole game. So I think I might take the under and give the points on that game because I think the Giants are going to make everybody feel good again.
Well, good. But, you know, the thing I do like about the Giants compared to the Redskins, it's a good organization. You know, I can talk bad about John Mara all I want. I'm not a big John Mara fan. But I am a big fan of an organization that does everything right. Do you know what I mean? And the Giants,
yeah.
The Giants, the Eagles, you know, the Steelers, you know, I hate to even say it, but except for the cheating part, the New England Patriots, they've got a great organization. You know, when you're in the D.C. area and you look at the dysfunctionality of what we've been looking at for the last 15, 16 years, you can appreciate the Giants. And I think that that's more or less what's going to kind of bring the Giants out on top today, you know?
Yeah, if we started over and released all players and let teams go after everybody, the same teams would be winning. That's because the organizations know how to win.
You're absolutely right, and that's what it's all about. It's a trickle-down effect. I mean, if you've got really good ownership and management, guess what? You've got really good scouts. You've got really good coaches. You've got really good players. I mean, that's how it works, right, Rick?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's why the Redskins aren't very good. They've had some okay coaches, but they couldn't get the rest of the story together. And their talent is just not that great. I think if I wrote the other day, of the 53 players, if they had to completely start over, I'd probably keep 10 of them. And even of that, maybe only 6 or 7 of them I'd really want to keep. And the rest are whatever. So they'll probably change 30 players next year, and who cares? I mean, most teams change 20 or so a year anyway. So,
right, right.
You know, they're just not – there's not a lot of talent on this team that you'd say I want. The punter is the player everybody would pick first, you know, in an expansion draft. They take him because he's been very good, you know. But they just don't have a whole lot. And what I've realized last week was DeSean Jackson's been hurt, and I don't think he'll play today. He really removes the downfield game, and so defenses are sliding in. And Colt McCoy doesn't have that great an arm to beat them. So Colt McCoy's a good game manager, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he doesn't have an arm that's going to go – if you cheat and come in, he's not going to beat you long. And without DeSean Jackson, they don't really have a receiver that can beat you long.
What do you think about Kirk Cousins? You know, I mean, a lot of people like Kurt. I liked Kurt. I liked seeing what I saw when he came in there. He did seem to kind of fall apart a little bit when he threw some picks, but he seems to have a better arm than Colt, and he seems to have more upside than Colt. Am I wrong?
I'd say you're probably right on that. I mean, if you can remember Rex Grossman, I think Kirk Cousins is the same player. He's going to make some really great plays, and he's going to make some stupid ones. And Sexy Rexy, I admired Sexy Rexy because he didn't care, man. He was going to fire that ball away. And if he got picked off 5 times that game, so be it. But he was going to throw 3 touchdowns. So it was kind of interesting, and it was exciting. But for Kirk, these interceptions have killed him. I think he's 20 touchdowns and 21 interceptions now in his career. Really smart guy, studies really hard. I'm amazed sometimes at the interceptions he throws. And when things go bad, he doesn't seem to be able to reset out of that. That's been his biggest problem. So I still think he could be a confident quarterback around the league. I know that Gruden likes him, but the owner's sort of like he's behind Art Robert. So he won't really – they say he may play this season, but I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen the last 3 games.
Last game I want to talk about, Rick. We got a little over a minute left. Seattle. Boy, have they come back early in the season. I mean, before the season started, I picked them to win it all again. And then after about 6 or 7 games, I even admitted on the air, I guess I was wrong about these guys, but I didn't realize how many little injuries they had had. And all of a sudden, they seemed to be peaking at the right time. And now they play San Francisco at home when San Francisco is down. Are they going to destroy the Niners today, you think?
I don't know if they'll destroy them, but I think they'll beat them handily. I mean, you know, the Seahawks had Super Bowl hangover, which we've seen a lot of years. A lot of off-season partying, a lot of believing what you read. And, you know, they didn't get in the game for a while. And after they got stunned a little bit early, that finally awakened them around by mid-season. And they've been one, you know, maybe the best team in the last month or so. So they're coming into the playoffs fine. I'd be shocked if they didn't make the Super Bowl, or at least the NFC Championship game. You know, their offense is still pretty good, too. So at home, it's a really loud place. Them and Kansas City, when Kansas City's really good, is a really loud place. You know, but man, that outdoor stadium in Seattle just is incredible. So I see Seattle doing it. I don't think Arizona is a very good team, so I expect Seattle to finish winning the division.
Yeah, you know, what Arizona's got, in my opinion, Rick, is they've got the NFL Coach of the Year. Bruce Arians has done this with – it's almost like a good college team. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're pros, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But they've had so many injuries on both sides of the ball, and they're in a tough division, and they're, what, 11-3?
Yeah,
I mean, that's crazy.
I don't know, but they're not a tough playoff team, in my opinion. I watched them beat the Redskins one game, and I thought, I just don't see it. You know, they've got some nice players. They can beat the bad teams. They seem to be doing, you know, they're doing fine. But come playoff time, I'm not picking them.
Well, especially without a good quarterback, because they're not going to be able to do it in the playoffs. Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Do me a favor. Tell everybody how they can follow you on Twitter and the best places to look for you.
It's at Snide, S-N-I-D-E, underscore remarks. So you can find me there. The Washington Post, Express.com, and 106.7 FM, The Fan, here in D.C., which is a big station.
Yes,
are among the places I'm at. I'm a little everywhere. And skinsbook100.com if you want to buy the book.
Rick, thanks a lot, partner. And have a great day today, will you?
All right, guys. See you.
We'll see you, Ricky. Rick Snyder. We'll be back in a minute with more of News Talk 1230 WFAS. This is Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I am back. It's been a great show so far. We're looking at our next two segments. Tony Mazur is supposed to come on here briefly, either this segment or the next segment, talk about Johnny Manziel and what's going on in Cleveland, how crazy it's going to be at the stadium today.
I heard he's just walking behind Manziel, picking up all the dollar bills that he throws up in the air.
Yeah, what's up with that? That is exciting, isn't it? You know, Johnny Manziel.
You know what? Here's the story on Manziel, and I've read a lot about, you know, him in the last 48 hours about what's been going on. Forget about that little incident at the elevator with some guy that was trying to hug him while he was intoxicated. I mean, a lot of guys get big leagued, and I imagine that a couple of the guys that were with Manziel basically decided to throw this guy around a little bit or something because he was, you know, touching Johnny. And you got to be careful when you're a celebrity because you never know what they're going to touch you with. They might touch you with a muzzle of a gun or something, so you don't want to necessarily put yourself. But this happened, I think, in his apartment building. Oh, no, it was in a hotel where he stays. That's what it is, which is basically an apartment building if you're rich. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm going to briefly go over all of the games here shortly, and I'm going to try to get Chris D'Angelo on the line. Chris, of course, is the host of Sports Card, which comes on from 12 to Scorecard. What did I say? Sports Card. Sports Card. I was thinking
and memorabilia.
Memorabilia. No, but he's on Scorecard, and I actually went to New York and did my show. Chris did my show with me, and I did his show with him. Of course, I sat there. I was so busy. It was unbelievable. We did it on site at a place called Hardball, which is a baseball training facility. In Westchester County, we had a great time up there. What a super location that is. I mean, all the guys up there are extremely qualified, good guys.
I have to imagine you got kicked out at some point for criticizing people's techniques.
No, not at all. I actually didn't. Let me tell you something. In baseball, is you keep it simple. You don't criticize anybody's technique because if it works, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. In baseball, it's very simple when you're a hitter. You got to keep your hands above the ball. You need to stay inside the ball, and you need to let the ball get in on you. You can't be diving at it and jumping at it, and you can't be trying. You know, you can't drop your hands and get under the ball because if you're under the ball, you're going to pop it up or you're going to miss it, and that's what we call those outs in baseball. You don't want outs. You want to get to first base.
Thank you for clarifying that. For
hey,
me.
Let me go over these.
I need that kind of clarification.
Now let me go over these games real quick. If you would, Matthew, if you don't mind, try to get a hold of Chris and have him call in, if you don't mind, because I want him to call in before the end of the show. Obviously, I won't be able to talk to him about his upcoming show and what he's talking about if he doesn't get back to me. The Steelers are playing at the Falcons. It's a 1 o'clock game. The over-under is huge. It's like 55 points. The Steelers are favored by 3. The Steelers probably have a better team. They are up and down like crazy. Ben Roethlisberger is on fire. The Steelers should win this game, but you know what? If you want to be careful, take the over. I see both teams scoring 30 or more points in this game. It's indoors. You know, this is in the Georgia Dome, so it's not like they got to worry about the weather. Take the over in this game. This could be 24-21 at halftime. The Ravens are hosting the Jaguars. I said I might go to that game. That ain't going to happen. I'm going to go home. I'm going to lay down on the couch. I'm going to make lunch, and I'm going to watch Red Zone, and I'm going to watch the Redskins get beat by the Giants. The Ravens are 14-point favorites. 85% of the time in the past several years, I want to say the last 10 years, when the Ravens are double-digit favorites at home, 85% of the time they cover. They have won every game where they've been a favorite by 10 or more points. Take the Ravens for 4 stars in this game. I love this game. Jaguars are 2 or 3 years away from being real competitive, to be honest with you. The Packers are at the Bills. Packers have never won in Buffalo. Never.
That is very shocking. Well, like, you say it's shocking, but
Buffalo
you're like,
used to be very good. They're good now, but they're just starting to get good.
Green Bay has been good for a while now, and you would have thought that at some point in this prior reign of Favre.
Well, you don't play the AFC East except once every 5 years, those games against AFC opponents always rotate. You know what? I'm going to pass on the game. I just hope Jordy Nelson scores 40 points for me so I can get in the finals and play Matt. And by the way, Matthew and I are in the semifinals, which is amazing.
If we both win, we're both in the championship.
Yes,
we are. This will be my second year in the championship if that happens.
And really,
if we both lose, we'll both be
sad. I love fantasy. I'm learning to love fantasy. I could have a fantasy show. I mean, I would love to talk. Because I got people that send me, they send me texts all week long, especially my son, which I love because we get to hang out and talk about sports. But I get texts from people and they'll tell me, who do I take? And it's not a very tough decision most of the time.
I can't wait to get to that point with my son because I'm sort of exhausting my knowledge like of Ninja
Turtles.
He's
like 6, right? Or 5? He's 5. It won't be long. I'd say when he's 8.
He thinks I'm amazing because I know so much about comics now, but eventually that's going to run out and I'm going to have to be able to talk to him about football picks.
No, eventually if he likes football and plays football, you're going to be doing that. The Panthers are hosting the Buccaneers. The Panthers have the quarterback for the Panthers, Derek Anderson, has only played one game this year. And he beat the Buccaneers first game of the season. I'm taking him again to do the same thing. I like the Panthers in this game. They're 4-8-1. They win, they could be in first place because Atlanta's going to get beat probably by the Steelers. New Orleans stinks. They're liable to get beat tomorrow night in Chicago. Take the Panthers here. And Cam Newton's out. Don't worry about that. His number one running back rushed for over 150 yards last week. The Texans and the Colts. Take the Colts. I'm not going to give the points. I love the Colts to win this game, but I wouldn't play it against the spread with your money. Raiders are at the Chiefs. Take the Raiders plus 10.
Really?
I'm taking them for 3 stars. I love them. I've won with the Raiders 2 weeks in a row. The Raiders are not, for a team that has 2 wins, they're having fun. Because they beat the 49ers last week. And the week before that, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs, or 2 weeks before that. Take them. Guess who they're playing today? The Chiefs again. They know how to beat them, although it is going to be an Arrowhead. Dolphins are at the Patriots. This is a 4-star for me. Take the New England Patriots. They're at home. They're probably cheating. I'm just kidding. It's just my opinion. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like they might not be cheating. But if you have to pick a winner, pick the Patriots. The Dolphins are not going to do it. Clark Judge made that clear. I agree with him. Broncos are at the Chargers. I'm taking the 4.5 points, and I'm taking the San Diego Chargers and Phillip Rivers. The Jets at the Titans, please. This is a college game. Vikings are at the Lions. Take the Lions. They've got to keep up with Green Bay for 3 stars. They're only giving up 8.5 points. Take them. Cowboys are at the Eagles later today. If you want to know who I like in this game, I'm going to give you a number. You ready? 703-904-0548. 703-904-0548. Call that number. A half hour before the game, I'll tell you who to play. Saints are at the Bears Monday night. Same deal. Give me a call. 703-904-0548. 703-904-0548. Or 703-615-5000. 4396. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and for Matt Lynch, we'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm sitting here texting, I'm sitting here tweeting, and I'm sitting here doing my last segment of my show. Got about 10 minutes left.
I was busy listening to the ads, and it looks like Lisa Wexler has tickets to see Alan Alda. I'm going to just put it out there to WFES. I will drive up there to
see
whatever
that
tickets.
Is. I'll take those tickets.
Alan Alda? Yeah.
Alan Alda's crazy.
I love that
You know
guy.
What I don't like about Alan Alda? He's such a good actor. He's in this show called Blacklist, and I've watched all the Blacklists. Mm. Blacklist's a great show. He's
seen
a bad guy. He's like a CIA, kind of rogue kind of guy, and he's so believable. I want to kill him.
I want to see. All right, I started watching
the other guy. I like Red. Red's cool as hell because Red was on that show I loved that had the guy from Star Trek.
What?
They were lawyers.
There were a lot of people on Star Trek.
What was the name of that show?
I have no idea. Do you know how many lawyer shows are on TV?
Oh, God. It's unbelievable.
Just Law and Order alone, there are at least 15 different versions of that. And I have the sound.
We're waiting on Tony Mazur. I mean, generally speaking, Tony Mazur is really quick to call in. Exactly. And because Tony's good on the radio and Tony likes to come on our show. And I wanted to talk about Johnny Manziel. The only thing I can figure is it's 11:49. Tony's probably at the ballpark. Well, they start at 1 o'clock, I think. So, I mean, you know, chances are he's either en route. Oh, by the way.
He's busy trying to figure out how to get tickets to that Seattle and all that.
Listen, I want to go on a little bit of a rant here. Roger Goodell, resign, please. You know, look, it's bad enough. How do I go about this? I'll tell you how I'll go about it. Give us a call. 240-317-7294. If you think Roger Goodell's done a good job in the league, call me right now. please, 240-317-7294. 240-317-7294. Matt, do you think he's done a good job in the years he's been commissioner?
No, I have. Here's a question.
Okay.
Who do you think should take his place besides you?
Oh, I think I should.
You put it out there so many times.
I think I should because I think I care a lot more about. Look.
You do these Steve Jobs, I'll take a dollar.
Well, let me think.
Make my money in stocks.
Who do I think should take his job?
Realistically,
it can't be anybody. It can't be anybody with NFL experience. It can't be an attorney. Cannot be an attorney. You know what it could be, though? It could be a former coach.
What are some of the qualities you want to see in a new owner?
You know what? If Dan Snyder agrees to sell the Redskins, I think he should be NFL commissioner. Because then everybody would just laugh so hard, nobody would ever listen to a word he said. So,
man, that's not even funny. That's not funny.
I'm just
trying
to set him up. No, you know what? Who do you think should be NFL commissioner?
I don't know. I'm looking at I don't think there's any specific person.
Who should be NFL commissioner, but he'd never take the job. Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach should be president of the United States. Listen, in the football life this weekend, they did Roger Staubach's. If you saw that, you'd cry and you'd want him to be president. Even your liberal butt would want him to be. I guarantee you he's not a liberal. But I will say this. He's a fair man and he'd be right in the middle somewhere and he'd be putting deals together and he'd be compromising and he would be working with everybody. The guy, did you hear? You know what he sold Staubach Real Estate for a couple of years ago? $600 million. Now, we're talking about a guy that went to the Naval Academy. Did 4 years, I think, in the service. Might have done seven. came out like in his late 20s, and the Cowboys owned the rights to him. They signed him, and he won like a Super Bowl. And he won like six titles, NFL titles, NFC titles. Staubach, I saw play in 1961 at the University of Maryland when I was 8 years old. I went with my father and my mother, and that was the only game they lost the year he won the Heisman Trophy. He won the Heisman Trophy. Oh, congratulations to Navy, who beats Army by 7 points, 13 games in a row.
I have to give a shout out to my my cousin Adam, who's in the Navy, and he put it perfectly. Oh man, I fell asleep through the game. No need to worry. I think Army did too. So.
Well, they blocked a punt to score the only 7 points, the only touchdown of the game, and I picked up the game kind of at the end of the first half, and Navy was losing, and then they scored right before the end of the first half, but Kenny Natalua, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He's Hawaiian. He's done such a great job there. The guy that was there before is at Georgia Tech. He did a phenomenal job. The two of them have won, were responsible for 13 wins in a row over the military academy. I will say this, the U.S. Military Academy, West Point, gave it, Army, gave it all they had. It was one of the better showings they've had in recent years, but the Navy has a quarterback, by the way, has scored more touchdowns than any quarterback in NCAA history. They run the triple option. They run a high school type offense. It's like the wishbone, and that's exactly what they run at Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech almost beat Florida State a week ago. I mean, they had them beat. They just had to they turned the ball over one time. That cost them the game. And their defense couldn't stop. Their defensive line averaged 250. Florida State's offensive line averages 330. That's just physics. They pushed him out of the way hard.
All right. So I thought about it while you were talking.
You've got somebody that will be commissioner.
I have qualities that I want to see in a new commissioner. I think it should be someone who comes out of real estate, because I think where the league needs to go next is to not be afraid to move some teams around and not be afraid to add some teams and drop some teams.
Well, let me ask you this. You're talking about moving teams around. I thought about that, and I looked at a map. They're perfect where they are. You can't worry about...
You need an L.A. team.
They're going to get an L.A. team. Now, let me ask you this. If they get an L.A. team, who do they pull out of wanting that? If they get an L.A. team, is it an NFC team or is it an AFC team? Mm-hmm. They're talking about two L.A. teams. They'll never do that.
The problem is I think they're too comfortable with the fact that they have such symmetry in the league right now. There's exactly four teams in each area.
Well, that's kind of perfect. They're talking about going to one more wild card next year,
but too. There's so much parity in the league that it's starting to get boring.
Except for the four AFC teams that are 2-11.
Yeah, but every year you know that, you know, the team, there's going to be a few really good teams.
They don't change much. You're right. They don't change that much. Well, it's not hard. Look how many people are on a roster. I mean, you know, and they don't dump everybody. They'll dump 10, 15, 20 people like Rick Snyder said today.
And I hate to, I guess it's good that Tony didn't call in, because I don't think there's a reason to have two teams in Ohio. I think you get rid of one. It will be an unpopular thing to
do. Well, Cincinnati's really in Kentucky. It's literally right on
Kentucky.
Yeah, let me tell you, Cincinnati deserves a team. Cincinnati's a pretty.
Then
big,
you get it, rid it's of Cleveland. Big, they've been
through
it
but
before.
You can't get. Yeah, but Cleveland, they're what they got rid of Cleveland.
They've
once.
Done it once. That they're used to it by
no,
now.
No, but they're not going to do that. Look, the Midwest.
That's why I'm saying
the Midwest is
football. Should be.
Pennsylvania, Ohio is where 50% of the great coaches come from. Mm-hmm. They just do. The great coaches don't come from Florida. They don't come from Alabama. They don't come from Mississippi. They don't come from Louisiana. They come from West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Right. And literally where those three states meet is where the most of them come from. Most of those coaches.
Then I think the next person needs to add eight teams. Eight teams to the entire line. So you get L.A.
But they're already
probably add another
terrible.
Texas team.
Yeah, but we already have so many terrible teams. You want to add more terrible teams?
I think we need more.
How about
variety.
Two in each league? How about two more teams?
Because I'm thinking,
you know, we're going to get one in London, right? We're going to get one in London, right?
Well,
no, that's going to happen. That should be
if they do that, then
that should be an NFC East team, maybe.
No,
it's got to be an East team.
They'd never do that because three of the biggest teams, the biggest draws, and the biggest live ticket draws are in the NFC East. Probably, I'd say probably four of them. Would be besides New England, live ticket draws.
But if you add two teams, you're going to add another wild card team.
You will never see the Redskins play in London. You will never see the Giants play in London.
No, yeah, you will.
Unless it's an away game.
No, buddy, listen. If this indeed happens, everybody is going to play them once sometime. And if you're in their division, you're going to play them twice a year. One at your place, one at their place.
There's a reason that Jacksonville and Buffalo are
Matthew, this is why we don't let you talk on the show. You've got to play.
Do you not see?
You've got to play. No, it doesn't matter. Hey, I got news for you, buddy. Once every 4 years... San Francisco, Seattle are going to go to London and play because that's the way you have to do it in the league. If you bring a team to London, they're going to play the other three divisions once every 4 years. They're going to play their own division once a year in London. Now, that's going to happen. Trust me. And it's fair that way.
But I think what's bumming me out about football so much lately is that
it's
the same
Believe
game.
It or not, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
It's the same game that's been played for 15 years now. There has been no real changes.
Are you kidding me? You can't touch a receiver. I mean, there's too many. It's not even football anymore. It's actually like flag football.
You can have little changes here and there, but I think there needs to be some real blowing up of the different fan bases. And I think you can do that by adding more teams.
Well, how would you blow up a fan base? I mean, if you blow up a fan base, they're not going to draw
it. Giving them more teams. Give the fans in Minnesota two teams to cheer for.
That's ridiculous. There's nobody up there.
That's off the top of my head. But how much longer do we have, Matthew? Call us this week, 240-317-7294. Call us, leave us a message, and I want to know if we should add more teams to the NFL.
We'll get back to you on
that,
too.
Yes. We'll play them all next week.
We'll do that with the first segment. See you later, people.